We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Happy Monday here on KNBC. John Grayson out on vacation. Sam Stevie's hanging out with us. Scott Parks is here. I'm kind of the oddball here for this hour, actually. I feel like
starting the Dana and Parks program a little early. Jamie filling in for Dana this afternoon. Yes.
But nonetheless, we're getting it done here. Thanks to everybody for hanging out with us. Sometimes we hit topics that we have never covered before, and it's rare sometimes that happens, but that is what this next topic gets us into. Story is out of the Washington Post, and I'm just going to read for you the first few sentences here because the story is so well written. And it's about, we've never talked about fishing tournaments and the fraud that is involved in fishing tournaments, but wow, do we have a case on our hands here out of Ohio. So Jason Fisher knew the two fishermen needed their catch to weigh in at about 16 pounds to secure the Team of the Year award at a competition in Cleveland on Friday. Eyeballing their entry, the tournament director figured they were about to easily clear that mark with five fish he estimated would come in at about 20 pounds. When the scale hit nearly 34 pounds, he grew suspicious. He is the director and owner of the Lake Erie Walleye Trail Fishing Tournament. This is where things get a little graphic. If you have a weak stomach, cover your ears here for a second. So he grabbed one of the fish, ran his hand over its stomach, and squeezed. He felt something hard, too hard. He sliced open the walleye, plunged his hand in, rooted around until he found what he hoped he wouldn't find. And he yelled, "Weights in the fish." Holding one of 10 steel gray egg-sized weights that would be pulled from the entry. He then disqualified the two-man team that had submitted the entry. I would play for you the audio of the reaction. The FCC would not like it very much.
Oh, really?
If I did. Yes.
Gets a little heated in the fishing world, does it?
People were quite angry. So he disqualifies these two. The next two below him end up winning this tournament. And it starts this whole investigation and this whole look at the idea of cheating in fishing tournaments. So the point here of this tournament was you had a set amount of time to go get the highest weight combined out of five walleye, and whoever got the highest weight won. And so that's why when it was 34 pounds, he thought, you know, these don't look like these would weigh that. And in fact, they didn't, not naturally anyway. So they start looking at these two guys, and apparently these two have been the subject of controversies in previous tournaments, to the point that they failed a polygraph in a previous tournament. And I didn't know until this morning that polygraphs are often required in fishing tournaments because there's so much money on the line.
They're like the New England Patriots of the fishing world.
I guess, yeah.
Wow.
So the state has been called in to investigate this. The case is going to be turned over to the prosecutor's office for possible criminal charges for cheating in a fishing tournament.
Fraud?
I guess. I don't know what the criminal charge would be, but maybe that's it. $30,000 is what was on the line here. That's what they would have won had this gotten by.
It's a seedy underworld in the fishing community here.
If you have insight, so my experience with fishing is limited to when I used to go with my dad and my grandpa a lot as a kid. But that's it. I mean, and Scott and I were talking off the air this morning. I said, how are you getting this done? How are you? And I guess they're just shoving the...
Well, you said egg-sized weights, right?
Yeah.
So a little bit smaller, well, half the size of a fist or a third of the size of a fist.
Uh-huh.
And so you're talking about something like that. That's not
they're big.
Your fishing line, your average fishing line weight. So these are weights that they would have had to have shoved down the fish's throat.
Yeah. Picture, I mean, like the inside of the palm of my hand, because I'm looking at pictures.
Right.
Like an egg is sort of the analogy I have. It's like the size of an egg. So they're pretty decent size that you would have had to have shoved down the mouth of these fish. The other thing that they did was they stuffed the walleye with other walleye fillets. Does that make sense? So they took other walleye fillets and they shoved them to increase the weight, thinking nobody would notice.
Pack the stomach.
Yeah.
You know, just like if you were to weigh in before the show and then eat a bunch of food during the show, when you weighed in after the show, you theoretically would weigh more.
Yeah.
Not cheating. They were just recently really hungry.
Well, yes. The fish have to eat. It was large bait that we were using.
So.
Can I stop for a second?
Yeah. Have at it.
Last week it was chess.
Yes.
Where the cheating was occurring.
Yeah.
This week it's fishing. Is nothing sacred anymore?
So, no. And is it because of the money?
Yeah, if there's $300,000 on the line,
well,
people 30, are going to...
30 on this one.
Okay.
I think somebody on the text line said these cats won 300 grand last year. But yeah, the fact that there's money on the line, Sam's right. That would certainly be where the criminal charges come in.
So should they be charged criminally? I guess I was surprised at that, but you're right. Fraud or whatever you can come up with for a criminal charge. And what they're looking at is... this probably isn't the first time they've done it. They're looking at previous times. So they're now looking at these two guys. It was a team, these two guys that did this. They're looking at every other tournament they've competed in to see if they've cheated in the past.
What did you say that these walleye were weighing in at? The average weight of a walleye is 24 pounds.
So it was five fish that weighed in at 34 pounds. And the tournament director expected them to be 20 pounds total. So
they would have to be taking an average then.
So he thought they were going to weigh 4 pounds apiece.
This website I have right here says the average weight of an adult walleye is 24 pounds. I mean, they're a big fish.
Yep. And this is Lake Erie.
Yeah. So, and these were coming in, I would imagine what they do. It's just a guess on my part. I've never competitively fished. Okay. I have fished a lot, but I've never competed in it.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine they take all five of the fish, weigh them all in, and get your average.
Probably, yeah.
And so if your average is coming in at 30-something pounds, you either had a really, really good day or you're cheating.
Yeah. Yes. Is this more common than I realize? Is this what's going on that's got this to be so competitive? Is it that easy to cheat at something like this? And so... there was last year's fall brawl fishing tournament. They were disqualified after their win when one of them failed the polygraph. Lie detecting tests are given at fishing tournaments? But you're right. It is coming up more. And it was something else other than chess that came up last week, too, where there was a cheating scandal. I don't have a theory, but if you want to get in, 913-586-7798. Let's go to the phones here. John has called us up out of Lawrence. Hey, John.
Hello.
Hi.
John, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I used to be a member at a golf course. Long story short, all their ponds were like loaded with fish. And there was a guy that fished, like he did it all the time in tournaments. And he would go out to the golf course and catch his fish, put them in a live well, and take them out to the lake that they were going to be fishing and tie them up, mark it, and then go out in his boat during the day of the tournament and just pick them up.
Huh. Okay. How do you know which are yours? How do you identify them?
The ones that are swimming right where you left them.
I guess. Yeah.
No, he was like, put them on a stringer. They were staying alive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Got caught.
Okay, so this is easier than I think, maybe.
Yeah, so you essentially run like what is like an airplane cable, you know, that what those bracelets are made out of, through the fish's gill, and then throw them back in the water, and now they're just tethered but still swimming and still alive.
Exactly. Okay.
All right, interesting. All right, thanks a lot, John, for the insight. Appreciate it. We'll keep going. Jamie is next up out of KC. Hey, Jamie.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I have a buddy that fishes in tournaments all the time, and there is lie detector tests after all of them. And there's a lot more on the line than just, like, the prize money. You know, promotions, you know, advertisements, you know, on the side of the boat, whoever's, you know, sponsoring them. A lot of sponsorships and things like that. So there's a lot more money on the line than just the prize money. And I was going to tell you, I think they're talking about egg-shaped weights, not, like, egg-size weights. Egg-size weights would be huge. So I'm thinking probably just egg-shaped weights anyway. So that's all I wanted, just to let you know. I think there was a lot more on the line than just prize money.
Yeah. Jamie, hang on for just a second, because a number
Sorry, I was too fast.
That's right. A number of people are saying, I don't know what site you're looking at, Scott, but 24 pounds is way too heavy for a walleye. I'd be curious, because again, I enter this with complete ignorance. Never in a million years, when you asked me to fill in for John, did I think we were going to be talking about a cheating scandal in competitive fishing.
Oh, the news cycle.
But here we are, and before you think that this is just some obscure story that Jamie found on God knows what website, it's on all the major news channels today. This scandal has rocked the fishing world. So knowing that I come into this with an incredible amount of ignorance, I don't think I've ever caught a walleye in my life. I wouldn't know a walleye if it literally slapped me across the face. I'd be curious, how do they do the weights in competitive fishing? It said in the story that they had five fish.
Yeah.
Is it a cumulative weight, or is it an average of the five?
I thought it was a combined total of the five.
So it would be a cumulative weight. Okay.
But we can look up the rules of that tournament.
I'm really not that interested in competitive. I'm more interested in the cheating than I am about how they score. I'm just curious.
We'll look up the rules and see for sure. And if you have more insight into this than we do, again, it was on every major outlet picked it up this morning, you know, so.
Well, I'm watching CNN here in the studio. They just had it on like a few minutes ago.
Yeah. 913-586-7798 if you can help us out here on this one. We'll take a break. Be back in just a few minutes on KMBZ. Well, first it was chess. Now it is the fishing tournament world that is being rocked by a cheating scandal. SB Nation just picked up the story. TheHill.com just picked it up now, talking about this fishing tournament on Lake Erie in Ohio over the weekend. We're having trouble kind of figuring out exactly what the rules were. I'm looking at the tournament rules and I still can't figure it out. What I know is that you had a set amount of time to go out and get as many fish as you could. And then the goal was get your five biggest, and you would win prizes based on the weight of the five biggest that you got. And up until these two guys were caught, the best single fish up to that point was 7.23 pounds. But the catches from these two guys kept exceeding it for no obvious reason. And that's when the tournament director said, hey, let me just feel around a little bit and see if maybe there's something that shouldn't be there. And he felt the weights, whatever they're made of, but he felt the weights that were in there. And so he opened up the fish. He saw the weights. He saw other things that they've been stuffed with. And disqualified these two anglers here. And we're learning all kinds of things about this. I know. Let me tell you, in the list of things I never thought I was going to be talking about either was going to be cheating in fishing today. And yet here we are. So
only in America.
Jim in Topeka has something on his mind. Hey, Jim.
Oh, have you lived a sheltered life? This has been going on for as far back as my memory goes. And this deal of putting the biggest fish out and what have you, you start with one and you keep going back to the well and you only cheat just enough to win. You don't want to get over zealous with it and go too big or you draw your attention to yourself. And that's 60 years or better that I know of cheating in fishing tournaments. So it's just kind of a slow news day and they found something else to gripe about.
All right, Jim.
Your thoughts?
My thoughts is I'd rather talk about this than some of the other stuff that they're talking about on CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC, quite frankly. And if that means it's a slow news day, then I hope every day is a slow news day.
It's not a slow news day. Plenty going on.
No.
Not at all. All right. John is next up out of OP. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. So I was listening to this, and I'm like, I guess it makes a little bit more sense because there's so much money on the line. But I remember when I was in sixth grade, I remember there was a big hoodoo about the Pinewood Derby race.
Wow, I forgot about
that.
This.
A kid was cheating on, and he had placed a magnet in the nose of his car so that when the metal gate, you know, at the top of the ramp flips down, it'd pull the car forward. And then a couple years later, the same thing happened with the soapbox racing, you know, where the kid gets in it, where the dad had rigged up an electromagnet so that when the kid got into the car and his helmet hit the back cushion behind his head, it activated a switch. And they figured it out by watching slow motion how the car, the gate would drop and the car would just kind of stick to it. But I don't think there's any cash prizes in that. So that kind of blows my mind that somebody would go to that much effort for a trophy or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In this case, this duo has won over $300,000 in fishing competitions in Ohio in the last several years. So that's the kind of money that we're talking about.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I get it. I guess I get their motives, I guess. But, you know, like I said, people have cheated for a lot less and stupid things.
And if I'm not mistaken, John, the Pinewood Derby is exclusive, or at least it used to be exclusive, to the Boy Scouts.
Exactly. That's a really good point, Scott. That would seem a little strange to me that, you know, it's always about honor.
Being trustworthy,
you know, like
being honest, and yet my dad's going to load up the front of my Pinewood Derby car with a couple of lead weights so it goes a little faster when they release the gate.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, that's just crazy, but that's all I had for you. I thought it was interesting.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the call. So we'll see if they end up doing criminal charges here. That's what they're looking at. And again, the other thing they're looking at is, has this duo been... have they cheated all along? And just this is the first time they got caught.
Well, how would you know?
And how would you prove it now?
The fish that they had caught in the past were either thrown, eaten, or have decomposed. Mm-hmm. So good luck. But whenever there is money involved, no matter what it is, it doesn't matter. When money is involved, there will be cheating.
Yeah, greed takes over at some point.
Sure it does.
Yeah, and so these two would have come in third place had they not weighted their fish down. So they would have won money anyway. They just wouldn't have won
$30,000.
Yeah. And it's funny, SB Nation's really just going after them for how bad of a job they did at cheating at this. Like, they should have left the weights out. They wouldn't have felt, this is weird, these are weird things to say, but if they had just stuffed the walleye with other walleye, that wouldn't have been as obvious because you wouldn't have felt that as well.
It would have been squishy in the stomach instead of a obvious hard substance.
Just thought he had had a meal prior to trying to get the other meal off of our line.
It's bulking season, you know, they got to eat a lot.
Right. Yeah. Instead of the metal or whatever the weights are made out of. But yeah, instead of the weights that were very obvious to feel. So I've never talked about fishing this much ever, but I just think cheating scandals and the things that drive people to that are fascinating to find out. And you just kind of wonder, like, will there be an overhaul in rules and that kind of stuff to prevent this kind of thing now?
Banishment from, and I almost hesitate to call fishing a sport. I know I just infuriated anybody out there who does fishing on a regular basis. It's an activity or a competitive activity, depending on how you're doing it. But not to get into a sport versus sport debate.
Here we go.
I'm not trying to start that kind of stuff.
Here we go.
However, why they call it a sport? Why not banish these two morons from the sport permanently?
Yeah.
Whether they're fishing on Lake Erie or whether they're fishing in the Pacific Ocean, how about they don't ever get to compete in the United States? I mean, I don't know how many. There must be 5,000 different fishing organizations, many of them having their own tournaments or whatever. But they could all just say, you know what? Tom and Jerry over here are banned for life. Nobody's letting them into anything.
And then metal detectors before you weigh them in. Run them through metal detectors.
Well, there are some fishing tournaments where you have like a guide who will sit there and monitor every single fish that you bring in to make sure that you're not doing anything hinky.
I don't know why they don't weigh them in the beginning. This is an outsider looking in. I've never competitively fished. Okay. But why not weigh them in the beginning? All right, Sam, you just won.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie came in second, and I came in third in today's Lake Erie Walleye Spectacular. And then after we've determined who had the heaviest fish. We go to the side over here and we slice them all open. You're going to eat them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or sure. You're going to throw them away, one of the two.
Mm, yeah.
And
yeah.
So why not? Let's everybody over here to the table. Sam, your fish with the fattest. Let's go. Slice them open. Mm-hmm. And make sure there's no lead in their stomach.
Oh, there's three extra walleye in here. That's crazy.
Doggone it. They must have eaten little cannibals, little bastards.
Oh, thanks to everybody who educated us a little bit here. We'll take a break. Be back to wrap up the show for the next half hour next on KMBZ.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome in here on this Monday here on KMBZ. Scott Parks, kind enough to spend some time with us. Dana will be with him at 2 o'clock. John Grayson on vacation this week. We have talked about this story a lot out of Parkville. I assume you guys, I know you have too, these train horn problems in Parkville. So they're looking at a solution, perhaps. The Parkville Board of Aldermen, this is out of Channel 41, has approved spending $16,000 to conduct and review the ability to implement a quiet zone at the train crossings across Main Street and East Street. If you've not spent much time in Parkville, or if you're new in town, we've been talking about this for a while, about how loud those train horns are, particularly by English Landing Park and with all the businesses that are right there. It's just, you have so many people that are there and so many people that live in that area and go to all those businesses that it's disturbing, and they've been looking for years for ways to try to overcome that. And so what they're looking at doing, these quiet zones would require replacement safety measures to be enacted at the intersection. Alternatively, the city could pursue a modified system of wayside horns that would more directly focus the sound of the horn down the roadway crossing. That would cost at least $560,000 to change the horn sound so it can go down the tracks instead of in a way that would alert people more. I mean, instead of in a way that would be heard in the city more, you direct the sound more directly to down the crossing instead of into the town, is how I take that.
Did you say Main Street and what?
The train crossings across Main Street and East Street.
Oh, East Street. Okay.
Is what Channel 41 says.
I thought
you
said E, and I'm like, I can't find that on the map. All right. I see it now. All right.
So, yeah. So they're looking at a study, and there was, I thought I said a different version of this that said they were also looking at putting smaller horns like on light poles and stuff so that it's not, they would redirect the sound of the horn to light poles so that they're smaller instead of the big one on the train. So is this still as big of a problem as it has been, and is any of this going to fix it? 913-586-7798.
Everybody hates the sound of the horn of a train, obviously, when they're trying to go to sleep. And I think you'll be hard-pressed to find a neighborhood that is not around train tracks where there is not – I mean, hell, we have this out in Western Shawnee. The trains go through Western Shawnee. And I know 2 years ago there was a major move – to try to get the trains to quiet down at night. And I don't hear them, but then again, I sleep like a bear.
Mm-hmm.
So if they created a quiet zone, if you will, I would be unaware of it in the first place. But I know that there was a movement afoot a couple of years ago to get the... is it me, or do the train guys at night like to screw with people? I swear one time when I was living in Roland Park, the train tracks that run along I-35, I swear one night about 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up for some reason, and I could I would put my hand on a Bible for this one, that he was doing like a dun, 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 dun. Like he was trying to make some sort of a song out of his, and it just went on and on and on forever. I'm like, that guy is screwing with everybody. And he just wants everybody else to be awake at 3 o'clock in the morning because he's awake at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
I mean, messing with people or not, did these people not know that there was a train track nearby when they purchased these homes, when they decided to move in this area? And if I'm mistaken, homes that are under airport takeoff areas and homes that are near railroads are cheaper for that reason.
Right.
Because you're tired of hearing it.
Damn.
Yes. Same Damn. As, you know, the interstate home thing, but businesses sounds like, is there other concern because you have people that don't want to patronize those businesses in Parkville because the horns are too loud. So, but yeah, it's like saying the same thing. The trains were there first.
I know people that bought property in Martin City within the last 15 years that they've complained to me once or twice about the train sound. And I'm like, well, you knew that that was a highly populated train area.
Right.
But is there a way to mitigate some of the sound, not compromise safety, have everybody calm down a little bit? Like, can we keep everybody happy?
Well, I haven't been to Parkville in a minute or two, but don't those train tracks run right through downtown or right next to downtown?
Yeah,
Parkville,
like right along English Landing Park.
Yeah,
and so, yeah, tracks run. I don't know what direction things are running here, but it's basically kind of like a T. Like the businesses run that main street in Parkville runs right up to the tracks.
Main street runs north and south.
Okay, so the tracks run the other direction then.
Okay.
Navigation's not my strongest
department. That's okay.
But
that's all right.
Listeners can't see my hands, but so, my hands know.
Well, the argument would be, and I'd have to look up when Parkville actually became a city, but the argument would be, the city was built literally around the track.
For that purpose. The tracks and the river.
Now, of course, this would have been before the advent of the automobile, I would imagine. And so that was how people traveled. That's how shipment came in, and you know, you didn't have trucks and stuff to get it from the train tracks over to your business. Parkville was founded in, I'll have to check. I don't know. Hang on. Okay. Take me a minute here.
So pole whistles is the term I was looking for. That's what they're looking at, is they'll put whistles on the poles at the four train crossings. The pole whistles sound at a lower decibel rate than the others and provide an alternative to the horn sounding from the approaching trains and blaring while trains approach and leave intersections.
First post office opened in Parkville in 1841, so that would have been well before the car.
Okay. Okay. But if you stand to lose business in Parkville because patrons don't like it, is that worth spending the money to reduce some of the sounds?
I'd be interested to see which ones of these businesses are taking advantage of the old train depot buildings as something cool for their business, something to promote, and if they're also complaining about the train sound, because the only reason that you have that ancient building is because it was built for the train. Now you're using that to your advantage, but also complain. I don't know.
But
it's
again,
a paradox.
But again, can you make everybody happy? Maybe you can. Is there a way to make the horn not as loud, not compromise safety? That's what you're looking at, is soften the sound of the horn so it's not quite, and maybe these pole whistles will do it. That's just a matter of whether the city wants to spend the money to have a quiet or sleepy little town.
Well, and at what price safety? And now the residents may say, to hell with it. We all know where the train tracks are.
Right.
We'll take our chances. However, not everybody who goes into Parkville lives or works in Parkville.
Yeah.
People go there because it's a nice little town. It's very historic. They shop the shops. They go to the landing, all that stuff. First person who dies after you create a quiet zone, God help you.
Yeah. Yeah. Lawsuit. I mean, that would be the papa of all lawsuit there. 913-586-7788. Richard's called us up out of Independence. Hey, Edward.
Hello, hello, hello. I've called in before, and I'm a 45-year veteran of the railroad, and I was an engineer. And I take umbrage, I guess that's the word you use, with Scott, because he said engineers screw with people on the horns. Well, there are signs before every crossing, unless it's a silent one, where an engineer has to blow that horn or he'll get fired. So, yes, the horns are loud, and they do have quiet zones, and they are quite workable.
How do the quiet zones work?
All you do is ring your bell. You don't blow a horn, but there are electronic spots before the crossing, and as your train hits those spots, it sets off the gates and the bells and the whistles.
Is safety
it's
the
automatic.
Same? Is there any increased concern about safety?
No, not really. There's several spots that I've worked with, and there's never been a problem with it. If you go around, of course, you've got the idiots that go around the crossing gates and all that, and that there's nothing you can do with stupid. You know what I mean?
Let me ask you something, Richard. If a city were to create, i.e., in this case, potentially Parkville, were to create a quiet zone, and we've heard about these over the last handful of years, do they have to absolve the railroad company of any liability if somebody gets killed or injured and, you know, the argument is made, well, you know, the train didn't sound its horns. Well, we were told not to. We're in a quiet zone now.
Yes, but it is against the laws, any laws in any community like that, to go around the gates and not pay heed to the lights and the crossing arms that go down. Everything is completely covered. There should be no reason why anybody gets killed at one of those because the horns will always sound if it's a quiet zone. The horns at the crossing, not the horns on the train.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah.
Thank you for the call, man.
Thanks. We appreciate it. We'll keep going here. Dave has called us up out of OP. Hey, Dave.
Hey, I'm a truck driver from South in the city of Neosho has the quiet zones also. I believe it's Kansas City Southern's the rail line that goes through town, goes north and south. But how they done their crossings is they all have the arms that go down, obviously, but they have like curbs where you cannot cross from one lane to the other when you cross the tracks, and the trains do not sound it at all going through town. And I believe they reduced the speed of the train to like 20 miles an hour going through town.
And again, no safety issue?
Not that I haven't heard of any.
Hmm.
It's been that way for a handful of years.
Then why aren't they all like that? Why don't we just do them all that way?
Well, we're probably heading in
that question. I don't know.
Go ahead.
That would make a lot of sense to do that and be quiet. But I see both sides. You know, you want to have the train loud so you can hear it coming. But on the other hand, it goes like 20 feet from houses and a school and stuff like that. But, you know, the train tracks were there first, too, like everybody else were saying.
Yeah. All right, Dave, thanks a lot for the call. Let's get one more on here before we take a break. Al is next up out of Olathe. Hey, Al.
Hey, hi. I used to live about a quarter of a mile from one of the busiest, right through Olathe on Woodland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, are you familiar with it?
Yes.
And years ago, and by the way, when we looked at the house on a Sunday, didn't hear any trains. But when we moved there, oh, my gosh. But they redid them several years ago, and they had to put down special cross arms. They had to put down the gentleman before. They had to put down a medium-type thing so you couldn't cross over. But, yeah, they quit blowing all the whistles after they got the new construction in, but it took some time to do it, and I'm sure it cost quite a bit of money. But it was nice not hearing the horns all the time.
The first house I ever bought was in Olathe in the 90s on North Logan Street, which is not far from the tracks that you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. It's the same tracks. They run all through Olathe, and then they split up.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I was so... All right, thank you.
Oh, sorry, Al. Thanks a lot for the call. To which I asked then, what's the argument against the quiet zones then? Who likes the sound of the horns that we don't just make them all this way?
The guys who probably, and we've all seen them, who sit at the intersections, especially out in, I don't want to say rural areas, but like out in the suburbs. I've never understood the people who just sit there and watch the trains go by.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I do the same thing like at Wheeler Airport. I watch airplanes, but not trains.
Man, I just don't get it.
Huh. Yeah.
They just sit there all day and just watch those trains go by. It's the same show over and over again, man.
913-586-7798 if you want to get in. We'll take a break, wrap up today's show coming up next here on KMBZ. Dana and Parks coming up at 2 o'clock. We got Parks here hanging out with us until then. John Grayson's on vacation this week. This one, I think, struck a chord with both of us, connections to the military for both of us. The Army fell about 15,000 soldiers, or 25% short of its recruitment goal for this year. Every other branch of the military hit theirs, hit their recruitment goal, but the Army was the only one to miss it. Surprised?
Yes, that all the other ones were able to, and yet for some strange reason, the Army was not. Unless their recruiting standards were just, and by recruiting standard, I mean expectations of number were just too high for some reason, but I doubt that. Yeah, I am surprised. I really am.
Let's see.
It's a noble profession, and in fact, I'd be honored if any of my children joined the military.
Yeah, maybe the Army just isn't as sexy as the others. Not that the Coast Guard's sexy, but you know what I mean? Maybe it just is the... whoever I'm offending, because I'm sure I'm offending someone. My dad was Army, but I don't know if it's just the one that seems to be the most, like, it's not Air Force. It's not Top Gun, you know? I don't know. I don't know why, like, Marine Corps is doing okay.
Sniper.
And, you know,
what are you talking about?
That's true. I don't know. We've talked before about having to change, you know, the standards for entry. You know, do we just have a population that's not fit for it anymore? Is the military just not as appealing as it used to be? Maybe we need fewer than we think. Maybe we don't need the 60,000 that they say we do. Maybe the expectation was too high.
Well, I am surprised that the number was 25%. And maybe I just live in a bubble. I think, you know, when you say the Army may not just be as sexy as the other ones, not that there's an attraction necessarily in that way, but I think the Army's the sexiest.
Well, wasn't it, I don't have the figures in front of me, but when the first Top Gun came out,
1986,
that boosted
yes
recruitment numbers dramatically for the Air Force, because suddenly everybody wanted to go be
for the Navy. Navy
right.
That benefited from that.
You're right. Yes. Thank you for the correction. Because everybody wanted to be Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe the Army just doesn't have that. I don't know. I also wonder if it's just everybody's having trouble recruiting workers. And so I don't know if they're just suffering also from, and again, I continue to ask, like, what's everybody doing?
Well, there's also,
if nobody's working,
there's not that allure anymore. It used to be this big, as Scott said, noble thing to do. And it still is in many respects, and many people consider it that, but mm-hmm. From the common messaging, from the outside looking in, it doesn't get that same, oh my gosh, you're joining the military, that it used to.
Although I would argue, and I don't know what their current slogan is, which is surprising, because in the past, and which is the only thing we can go off of, the messaging of the military, you know, its little slogan, kind of like McDonald's, I'm loving it, was always something that people knew. It was a very mm-hmm. well-known thing. I can remember as a kid, Army, be all you can be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then it became Army of One. I never understood that. What the hell does that mean? We're an Army of One. A one what? I thought the messaging on that was bad. But I remember as a kid, it was Army, be all you can be. And for whoever came up with that deserves $1 million. What an incredible slogan.
Mm-hmm.
Be all that you can be. Who doesn't want to be all that they can be in whatever they choose to do?
Yeah.
But you can do it right here in the Army. And, you know, I don't think we have a public relations problem in the Army like we did in the early 1970s, of which my dad was in the military, in the Army in the early 1970s. And everybody remembers those of you who are old enough, and certainly those of you who served in the 70s, being told if you fly, don't wear your uniform. Don't go out right. In public off base or off post in your uniform. You know, because there was just this, you know, with Vietnam, of course, there was a public relations problem that surrounded the Army. America felt, you know, over the course of the next decade or so after that, like they owed the Army a big one. And so, you know, this embracing of the military really came into vogue in the 80s and certainly in the 90s after the first Gulf War. But, you know, I went to Sporting last night, and they had the military honoree there last night, a retired lieutenant colonel. And, I mean, you couldn't find a person sitting in there. Everybody jumped to their feet,
yeah,
applauding this guy. I mean, I still think the respect is there. We just need to get it into the minds of the children. Hey, this is an honorable and a noble profession.
Right. It used to be held as highly as going to college, where now you're like, oh, that's their backup plan. Like, they couldn't get into a school, so they're going into the Army, kind of a thing.
I also just know fewer and fewer people in my circle that have served anymore. Just generationally, yeah. I just don't know as many people as I used to. So, Scott, thanks for coming in.
Anytime.
I appreciate
it. My pleasure.
It.
Enjoyed it.
We'll turn this over to Dana Parks, and Nivens will be in with me tomorrow here on KMBZ.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.